Hello, welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. This podcast is part of a series titled Esther, Strength and Dignity. If you'd like more information on our podcast or North Valley Church, you can find us at our website, nvcmd.org.
Good morning. My name is Dan. I am the lead pastor here at North Valley Church. I'm a lead pastor now, and I'm, I guess, 61 years old, but I haven't been doing the Jesus thing for all 61 years. I actually became a follower of Christ later in life, in my mid-late 30s, I think. But before I developed my relationship with Jesus, I had friends, had a good network of friends, and all of my friend group, we all had one thing in common. We liked beer. So we spent a lot of time drinking beer. Beer was very central to my social activities. Then life leads one thing to another. I figure out who Jesus is, and I'm like, oh, maybe it's time for me to make a different decision about how beer works in my life. It's not that I've given up beer, but I've figured out that my friendships need to be around something other than having a beer. And so one by one, group by group, I started hanging out with them and letting them know, hey, we're still going to hang out, we can be friends, but there might be less beer going on. When I took the beer away, I figured out, wow, we really didn't have anything else to talk about. So it changed a lot of stuff. That moment, season in my life was a season of change. Jesus was something new inside, and I'm realizing, man, he is calling me into particular areas that I need to address and I needed to do something about. One of those areas was the amount of alcohol and how it influenced my friendships. Again, I'm not beating up beer. I'm a big fan, as long as it's not that cheap, watered-down light stuff. Don't drink none of that. Jeez. I preached a sermon one time about end of life, and I talked about my funeral, right? What do I want to have at my funeral? I said, I want it to be outdoor, I want it to be a band playing, and we're going to have beer. If anybody drinks cheap beer at my funeral, I'm coming back to haunt you. I'm not okay with that, okay? So I'm okay with beer, but it can't be the only thing that makes up our friendships. It can't be what guides and leads us in our decision-making. Maybe God's got you in a place where you're realizing, hey, you know what? There might be this thing that God is calling me to address. Maybe there needs to be some changes. For me, I'm saying beer, but what it was really about was relationships. God wanted me to have genuine friendships and relationships in my life. And for me to be able to get to there, I was going to need to move beer out of the way. God wanted me to make some changes so that I could have the kind of relationships he knew I needed to have and was going to be good for me. Maybe God is saying that to you. Maybe there's something going on in your life and you're realizing this has been fun, but it's starting to interfere with my relationships. Maybe there's something else that God is calling you to. Maybe there's a thing that God is calling you to do. Maybe it's something, a task you want to get done at home or in your family or a goal at work. Maybe there's something you need to do at work or maybe there's something in church. You feel God's been tugging on your heart and it's like, hey, there's something I need to be involved in and I haven't been up to now. And for me to be able to move from where I am to where that needs to be, those changes to be able to accomplish those goals or tasks or things, I might need to make some changes. There needs to be something different about how I'm approaching it. I need to grow into being the person able to accomplish those things. Maybe you've been having some just time in the mirror, and you just realize for yourself, you know what? I've got some habits that aren't okay. And maybe God's been tugging on your heart. We need to sit down and talk about this. There are some changes that we just need to make on the inside. How you're responding to things, how you're doing things, Dan. There's something core. You do the same thing every time. There's some habits that you have that we need to address. God does that for me on a regular basis. Maybe he's doing that for you. I want you to think about where God might be calling and tugging at your heart. And when we think about that, a lot of times it's scary. It's a big deal. It's not a trivial thing to go and say, I need to change the structure of all my relationships and friendships. It's a scary thing. To be able to do those scary things in life that God's calling us to do requires courage. For me, I like the definition of courage is it's being able to do the right thing despite the fact that you're afraid. Courage doesn't mean absence of fear. Courage means I'm able to do what God's calling me to do despite the fear. And I find a way to get myself into a place where I can do and follow God's leading in my life. We're going to see an example of that in our continuing journey through the book of Esther. If you were here last week we built the narrative up to the point where King Xerxes had this advisor named Haman. Haman encouraged Xerxes to, hey, you know, it would be a really cool idea if we just killed all these people. Here's a bunch of money if you want it. But if you just turn control over to me, I'll take everything, take care of everything. And Xerxes listened to him. We'll talk about that later. But King Xerxes listened to him, and now there's an edict that 11 months down the road, setting the time frame of where we are, 11 months down the road, people are going to be given permission to slaughter all the Jews and take all their stuff. So there's profit to be made. If you didn't like some Jewish folks in your neighborhood, you would be able to do something about it. And the king sent this edict to the entire kingdom, the entire empire of Persia. Right? Remember, this is a big piece of land. It goes all the way from pieces of Afghanistan and India and all the way to the other side where Egypt is, where Syria, where Turkey, Greece, right? And it took up some of Greece. Big province. All the Jews in this area were now under threat. They knew the day, 11 months down the road, when that time was going to come, that people were going to be given permission to grab their swords, their pitchforks, and kill Jews and take their stuff. Lots of motivated people to be able to do that. We're going to pick the story up and see. We've also have met in previous sermons the guy named Mordecai. We're going to see Mordecai's response to how he hears that news. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. Mordecai was heartstruck with this bad news. And he responded to it. He shared his emotions. This was kind of a common practice at this time. Maybe it was a common practice in this culture. But man, it's something we struggle with here. Right? Mordecai knows that he and all his people are going to be slaughtered in 11 months and their property stolen. And he's letting everyone know, I am not happy about this. I am grieved. I am mourning about this. He's expressing how he feels to everyone around him. I want to hang out there for a moment. There's kind of two things we can pull away from this. One, we get surprised sometimes when we get bad news. Sometimes it's, well, I'm following Jesus. Isn't everything supposed to be easy and fun? It just doesn't work out that way all the time. Matter of fact, I don't think it works out that way any of the time. Jesus doesn't protect us from having to endure the difficulties of life. He allows us to go through those things. We receive bad news from doctors. We receive difficult conversations from friends and relationships. We get bad news from our boss at work. It happens. I want us to remove the rose-colored glasses. Let's not be surprised. Okay, it happened. There is a season of shock. You might have a moment of shock, a few days of shock. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. But as you work out of the shock, be ready to go, all right, it happened. Don't be shocked and surprised. We live in a cursed planet full of fallen people. Bad stuff happens. The difference for us as Christians is we have a God who's going to walk beside us and walk with us as we go through those seasons and through those things. That's the value we have as a follower of Christ. So let's remove the naivety. Man, bad things happen. The other thing I would like for us to pull away from this little piece here is Mordecai was okay expressing how he felt. Right? We as a culture struggle with expressing anything but anger. When I get onto Facebook or Twitter, I can see anger. But man, when you talk to people, I'm in my counseling room and I ask the question all the time, tell me how you feel about that. You would not believe the number of times I get a deer in the headlights. Feel? I don't even know what words to use. So if you've ever been in my counseling room, I whip out my phone and go, you need to see the wheel of emotions, right? And it's the wheel of emotions. It's like a whole, it's like got 30 different emotion words on it and categorized under happy, sad, angry, disgust, surprise. And as we work, as people work through that, you can see there's epiphany happening. Oh, I'm actually feeling words on this wheel. I would love for us to be more comfortable and acquainted with what we are feeling. Do you have the words to describe the emotions you're feeling? We need to feel. We need to be able to share that with the people around us. If I'm feeling sad, I need to be able to say, I am sad today. If I'm feeling confused, I need to be able to say, I'm feeling confused. Right? I had a meeting here Friday morning. And Friday morning, I just felt off. It was weird. It was just organizational stuff. But the people who were there, they were going to see me maybe be weird. And so I'm like, I am feeling weird today. And I told them, I said, I've had kind of a stressful week or two. So when I get stressed out, my ADD starts to rise up. So you'll see me just get distracted and you'll see me forget and have to remember what I'm talking about. So that might be happening. And then Millie made this, look, there it is. Oatmeal. What did you make? The chocolate oatmeal stuff? Baked oatmeal. Good. So she made this baked oatmeal. It's really carbohydrate heavy. I had that for breakfast with some strawberries. Lots of carbohydrates. I'm hypoglycemic. So when I eat lots of carbohydrates, my blood sugar drops down. What does that do? That makes my ADD bounce all over the place, right? So in that moment, I may have been there, I may have not. But I shared that with the people at the meeting. Look, if I check out, just be patient, tap me on the shoulder, I'll come back. But I'm willing to be honest. I'm not having a good day. I'm willing to be honest. I'm struggling with this. And I can share how I'm feeling. We would do well to be able to figure out, to be in touch with our feelings and be okay with communicating with other folks, just like Mordecai. For many of you, I know the first step is, I don't even know what words to use, and I just need to educate myself on what words tie into my emotions. If you were that person, you can Google Wheel of Emotions, and it will pop up. Trust me. Okay. Mordecai is grieving, and he's just doing it in a public thing. Everybody knows how Mordecai's feeling. He's not only feeling that, but the entire empire's feeling that. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Again, every Jew that's in the empire, which is probably all of them, there might be some stragglers who have moved to outside folks, but this encompassed the city of Jerusalem. It encompassed where Israel was, as well as where the kingdom's empire was. All the Jews in the empire were going to be slaughtered in 11 months. Esther finds out about her cousin Mordecai and doing this. When Esther's eunuchs and female attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of a sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Esther is responding with compassion. Now, there's a humorous thing in here for me, right? She's a queen, right? What does a queen do when she's having a bad day? I need a new outfit. If I can have a new outfit, I'll feel better. What does she say to Mordecai? Hey, Mordecai, if you go get a new person, new pair of shoes, you'll be feeling like a new man. Okay, y'all's like, I just saw my pastor do that. I'm not okay. I'm going to have to scrub my brain when I get home. She's kind of funny, but she's acting out of compassion. She wants to help her cousin Mordecai, and she's going to what she knows, right? Works for her. She's a queen. She can have a new outfit every week, and it makes her feel good. Okay, good. She's trying to do that for Mordecai. Her heart's in the right place, but I want you to catch that what she thinks she wants to do isn't really helpful. Mordecai's still feeling that. I want us to grasp for a moment, we are built in the image of God. We are designed to respond with compassion. We are meant to be compassionate to one of another. Sometimes our eagerness to do that compassionate response, we miss the remark. We miss the point of actually helping the person. We want to do what's in our wheelhouse to help. That doesn't always meet the need of the person that's there. So I just encouraging us, when you get that little oomph, that, ooh, I think I maybe need to do something, good, don't let go of that. You don't need to stuff it down. But man, take a moment and step back and go, maybe I need to go check out what's going on with that person and hear a little bit more so that I can respond in a way where that would actually be helpful to them. We always want to fix it. We always want to make it better. Right, Mordecai's got a bad set of clothes. Let me give him some new clothes. Maybe that'll make it better. That the clothes weren't the issue. To Esther's credit, she does take the next step. Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai, but why? Oh, and why? She's actually going to do the next, the best thing. Not only the next best thing, next in time, but the best thing you can ever do to somebody. You want to care for somebody and let them know how much you love and care for them? Listen to them. Simply ask, hey, you don't look happy. What's going on? And then listen. Let them share. They may choose to not share. If they choose to not share, that's their choice. But the fact that you even asked lets them know there's another human being who sees what I'm feeling and feels for it. Ask. ask how they're doing, and then be ready. Don't show up with all the things you can do to fix it, right? Esther wanted to fix it, and she missed the mark on that one. So instead of fixing, we can just listen to people when they're sharing their story. And if we can just be good, active listeners, how many people know what I mean when I say active listening, right? You listen, you ask questions, you respond so that you're engaged in keeping up with the story. Most people, that's what they really need. They just need somebody, another human being, to hear their pain and to carry their load. Sometimes when we help each other carry our loads, sometimes we do that simply by listening to the other person's suffering and letting them share that with you. Esther moves in a great direction in being a good listener. So Hathach went to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. And I'm going to sneak ahead. Don't move the slide. I want to stay on this slide. But the next phrase in the upcoming text says, he also gave Hathach a copy of the text of the edict. When Esther asked what's going on, Mordecai responded with clear information. He may have been emotionally distraught, but he told her exactly what was going on. Esther was being moved by her compassion. I am a big fan of knowing your emotions, being in touch with them. We need to respond to our emotions. Making decisions with our emotions is a terrible idea. At some point, we need to recognize that we're feeling something. We need to do something about that. But when decision time comes, we need to turn our brain on. We need to turn our brain on. So many times we get upset about something that's going on. We maybe are experiencing hurt. Maybe we're experiencing disgust or anger. And we react to that emotion. When we do that, usually doesn't turn out well. Get in touch with what you're feeling, understand why, but then engage your brain. If it's a big thing, do some research, right? If there's a big social issue that's pressing your buttons and you want to find something out about it, do some research. And I would encourage you, don't just do research when you're finding out information. Just don't do the thing so that you know about how you feel. Don't do the research so that you understand what it is that you thought to start with. Take some time and understand what people with opposing views believe. You don't have to agree with them, but take some time and research both sides of an argument so that you can approach and make decisions informed. We, as Christians, as cultures, we so often make a mistake. We drive a stake into the ground to what we want. We get angry about it. And then that's what we share with everybody. I'm okay. I'm a big fan of standing up for what you believe in. But we don't want to do it out of anger or hurt. We want to do it out of making informed communication. If I understand where the other person is, I'm now in a place that I can actually communicate what I believe in a way so that they can understand, because you know how they're going to hear you. So I would encourage you, man, if you've got something you're struggling with, understand the argument. Understand both sides. Mordecai does an amazing job. Even in his distress, he gives clear information to Esther. Hey, this just happened. You might be isolated in your queen palace checking out your new outfits, but there's stuff going on. We're all in big trouble here. And he shares, he just doesn't say that. He shares the real information. If we could do the next slide now. He shares the information. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show Esther and explain it to her. And he told him, this is Mordecai talking to Hathach, And he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence, beg for mercy, and plead with him for her people. He not only gave her all the information, he made the ask. This is what's going on with me, and this is really how you can help. Sending me a new outfit isn't going to cut it this time. I need you to do something big. I need you to be able to go to the king and say, we're in big trouble. Your people are in big trouble. Now remember, up until this point, the king doesn't even know that Esther's a Jew. So this has all been secret. Esther wasn't even aware of the edict. The king's not aware that she's a Jew. There's a lot of gap in information at the moment. But Mordecai shares what's going on, and he makes the big ask. Hathach went back to Esther and reported what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, pop over to the next slide. All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends his gold scepter to them and spares their lives. The ask that Mordecai is making of Esther comes with risk. Right? We wouldn't need courage if there weren't things that God calls us to do that involve risk. This might not go well. That's where courage comes in. Now, I have met people who are, bless their hearts, they are followers of Jesus, and when they get into circumstances like this, they just get this weird look in their eye. And they go, I'm just going to do it because everything's going to be okay. Jesus will take care of everything. It's like they check their brain out and just do, I'm just going to do what Jesus wants. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. We need to be obedient, but nowhere is, you know, the 11th commandment is thou shalt be stupid. It's not there, folks. So he gave us a brain. He really expects us to use it. Be honest about the risks. Don't pretend they're not there. Assess them. Make a list. Right? When I went to go talk to my friends, I knew the risk would be, this is going to change our friendship, might end a few. And it ended up ending nearly every one. When Millie and I made the transition from Summit Trace to what was Myersville Baptist Church, right? What was the risk? It's like there's six people here. I used to get paid this much at Summit Trace. How much am I going to get paid when I get to Myersville? Right? Zero. They didn't have any money. In fact, they were $19,000 in the hole. So, yeah, was the risk? Yeah, but we don't go, no, it's okay. Everything's going to be okay. We say that, but it's not like we don't tell people, We're doing this with a financial risk. I don't know how Millie and I are going to pay the bills 6 months from now. We think we can make it for 6 months without any money. Let's see what happens, right? We don't do it foolishly. We don't do it stupidly. We do it knowingly. We're willing to take the risk, but we're willing to take the risk because I know what it is, and I'm willing to trust God with that risk. Right, that's really what we're going to get down to here today, isn't it? That if I'm going to do these crazy things that God asks me to do, it really boils down to how much do I trust God? Do I trust God more than the fear of what it is that I'm risking? You don't need to turn your brain off to make that decision. God wants you to do it with wisdom, right? I knew I wasn't going to be getting a paycheck when I got here. So I let as many people I know that. Hey, I'm playing the church. Can you help a brother out? And I had some people step up and help a brother out, right? So I don't be stupid, but at some point I need to say I'm going to trust God with this unknown, this risk, and I'm willing to step forward. And Millie was willing to do that with me too. Be honest about the risks. Don't Don't put silly-looking blinders on and pretend they're not there. Know what they are because you might need to do wise things to respond to them, right? If I know I'm not going to get paid coming to Myersville, I need to do something about that. I'm going to do it anyway, but it doesn't mean I sit around and go, oh, just pray and hope money falls from the ceiling, right? You can't do that. You need to do something about the things that you know are risks. Winding up what Esther's message back to Mordecai was, 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. Esther shares her dilemma. Wow, you want me to go and just barge into the king's office and go, hey, you're doing this to my people that you didn't know were my people, but I'm those people. You didn't even know who they were, but you're going to kill us all, and it's going to be bad for me. Right? How do you have that conversation? That's weird. How do you do that? Esther realizes what's going on. Esther is at a point where she's assessing the risks. She communicates that to Mordecai. She doesn't quite know, man, I hear what's going on, but what do I do about that? For Esther, she has a wise advisor. Mordecai is going to be able to share some encouragement for her to be able to figure out what the next step is. She's at a moment of making a decision. When we get to that point, when we're struggling with something and we realize I need to make a decision, make sure you're talking to people you trust. Who are the wise advisors, the wise counselors you would seek in your life? When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. Harsh words. He's calling her up. Hey, this is serious. You can't slough this off. This is an opportunity for you to not just be a queen. Maybe there's something more going on. Just want to take a pause for a moment. Mordecai is about to give Esther some rocking good advice. It starts here about God's providence. Hey, God's going to work this out. You can be part of the God working it out, or you can choose to be on the sidelines. Mordecai saying that to Esther. I'm sharing that with you. God's doing cool stuff. You can choose to be part of the cool stuff God's got going on, or you can stand on the sidelines. For Esther, probably wouldn't have turned out well if she had ignored it. There's so much cool stuff that we're missing when we choose to not be engaged into the cool big things that God's got going on. To get there, Esther needed to hear Mordecai's words. How did we get here to start with? Right? Because King Xerxes was listening to an idiot named Haman. We might surround ourselves with people who are giving counsel and advising, but they may not be the right people. Take a moment. Who are the people you seek for counsel? And I want you to wrestle with this question. What does God think about the person that you would seek for counsel? Now, I tell everyone, you should have two or three people close in your life that when you've got big stuff going on, they know you, they have a relationship with God, and you can go seek their wisdom and let God speak through them to you. Who are the two or three people that you would seek out to make an important decision? What does God think of those people? Right? If your two or three people are the drinking buddies from McGurk's, we might need to reassess the list. Who are the people that are in your life helping you make wise decisions? Mordecai wraps up his counsel with these words to Esther. And who knows, but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Up until this moment, Queen Esther was having a great time. She was just a little unknown Jewish girl, ended up hanging out in this beauty pageant, and now she's queen of all of Persia, right? She's having a great time. God really loves me. Look at all the cool stuff he's done for me. Dope! Now she's in a position where it's not so much about just being a queen. She's in a role to be able to be a savior. Right? There's a larger spiritual, eternal thing that we use that word to apply to Jesus, but there's very real-time, practical, in this earth moments when somebody comes in and rescues and saves us from the terrible situations we might find ourselves. Esther has an opportunity to bring salvation in a very practical sense to the entire nation of the Jews. In a way, she's like a type of who Jesus is. She's able to do this for the Jews at this time, but Jesus is able to do it for all of us, for the whole world. He came so that the whole world have an opportunity to have a relationship with the Father in heaven, because we do dumb stuff. We sin, and that sin separates us from God. And in those moments when we want to pray, in those moments when we want to seek his wisdom, in the moments when we're struggling with our feelings and we don't know how to move forward with them or respond to them well, we can have the Holy Spirit inside of us to work through those moments. Again, he doesn't protect us from that. He walks with us in those moments. We have that because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins so that we can have this relationship with the Father in heaven, so that we can have the Holy Spirit in us, so that we can have the hope and the promise of spending eternity with him. And if you've never done that or experienced that before today, man, let's make today the day. Why go on struggling, having to do difficult things in life, making difficult decisions, separated from the creator of the universe? He loves all of us. He loves you if you're sitting here. And he wants to walk with you through this journey that you're on. If you've never done that before today, man, please, you could talk to me. Oh, today will be a difficult day. I need to leave shortly after the service to go to another meeting. But if you can catch me, we can exchange numbers and move on. Or you can email info@nvcmd.org. Esther hears Mordecai's words and responds. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When that's done, I will go to the king, and even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Esther was convicted by Mordecai's words, and she found her courage to be able to do the risky thing, to put herself in the opportunity to save the nation of Israel. That's what I'm hoping that we're able to do, that we can hear God speaking to us. Maybe he's going to speak to us through a close friend. And that if there's something God's calling us to do, that we would find that courage. I'm going to give a little hint, a giveaway of how the story goes, just to give you something. She starts with prayer, but this prayer rolls into this. This prayer rolls into finding favor with the king. This prayer rolls into being patient, right? And when she gets the moment in the audience to the king, she doesn't state her case. She puts a plan together, and her success is born out of being able to influence the king, not a well-reasoned argument. So think about that. That's how the story is going to go over the next few weeks. I want you all to think about that and open up what it is that you're praying for. We get narrowed down about what it is we want to have happen and what success needs to look like. Man, I am urging you to pray. How am I going to get there? What's the most sensible way for me to get to the point we all know that you want us to be? Be praying about the how, be praying about the when, in addition to the what. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. He is going to ask the nation of Israel to fast for 3 days. And then in the coming weeks, we're going to read about the results of how the plan unfolds. But it starts with 3 days of prayer and fasting. What might be God calling and tugging on your heart today? Maybe it involves something regarding a relationship. Maybe there's a thing that God's been wanting and pulling on you to do, and you've been going, no, not me, not me. Maybe today's the day you need to open up that conversation a little bit. Maybe there's a relationship that needs some attention, or a habit, something that you know God's been tugging on and you've been avoiding. Let's take this week and have that conversation. I pray that you are able to find a way to find the courage to step out and do what it is God's calling you to do. I would like to ask the band to come back up. And while they are, if you could just take a moment, close your eyes and think about whatever it is. Maybe you're like, I don't think God's calling me into anything special. Why don't we have a quiet moment and give His Spirit a chance to talk to each one of us? If you could close your eyes, please. Father, I know that You live inside of all Your followers. Lord, I pray that You would just take this moment right now and speak to our hearts. Give us some clarity and conviction about what it is that You might be calling us to do. Lord, as we start to hear You and start to sense Your tugging on our hearts about that, Lord, I pray that You would help us find courage. Courage just doesn't happen sometimes. It's just not a light switch. We need to find out what we're feeling about it. We need to be honest with it. What are the feelings that I get when I think about that? What are the details around it? Do I need to go do some research to understand what it is You're asking about me? What it is You want to change? God, who are the wise people in my life that I might seek counsel from to be able to hear what You have to say through them about making this change? Lord, through that process, Lord, I pray that You would help each one of us be able to find the courage to step out and do the crazy things You sometimes call us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.